Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. We have started with the introduction for the fellowship this weekend. We pray that the Lord builds precepts upon precepts. It was good the way the Lord introduced us, and then we saw the whole processes of consecration. And what the brother shared with us, if you remember the last slide, the one of the slides, you saw the different stages. Now we want to continue with the washing and the priestly garment. We've read quite almost all the things we need to read towards this preparation. So if you permit me, we won't spend so much time reading the ones that you have on the outline. The brothers prepare the outline so that we can take them away and then read them also. So in order to cover these two topics, I may not read all those other verses in the outline, but we need to refer to them when we leave so that the Lord will speak more to us. So many times, especially for the interests of those who are very new with us, when we hear washing, what goes on in our mind? Yeah? Washing, right? Sometimes I've heard some people who also think that this washing is the washing with the blood, right? No, to serve as priests, we've already gone past this stage. And also, it's not baptism. The baptism is what we do, right, for regeneration. This washing is the washing that we need to do to serve the Lord as priests. And because God is holy, it requires us to pass through this process of washing. And because, like the brother spoke to us, we are sin. You don't need to commit sin for you to know that we are the embodiment of sin. This thing is sin. Flesh is sin. I just read a verse in Exodus 33. Exodus 33 is very interesting. Exodus 33:19. I think so. Yes, 19 and 20. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So now we get it, right? Because we are sin, we can see God. If you see God, we'll just melt away, right? So how then can we come to the holy place? You saw the picture. The brother gave us a pictorial illustration of the tabernacle, right? In those days, God literally was inside there. What an awesome thing. I wouldn't enter. If you enter, you will just melt away, because even the high priest that goes there once every year, wow. They said they had to even tie a chain around in case when he goes there and he does what he ought not to do, he will be slain. So that's why we need washing. And I don't want to scare you so much, because the process of washing is very interesting. How do we wash today? The Word of God, Praise the Lord. You got it, Pato. And it's so practical. As the word enters into us, it washes. You know, when we talk about washing, it's not just this physical body. Inside our mind, there's so many death, so many filth. You know it. Forget the ones we see on the road, right? Forget the things we see. Within us, there's so much death and filth. What can we do? What can we do? We need to take this word of God to wash us. The more of the word of God we take, we are being washed. It's so practical. I'll tell you something. And you go and mark this. These few days we are going to be there, watch how consecrated you will be. It's a washing going on. Your conversations is different, right? And then you feel light. You feel close to God. Why? Because there's some washing going on. But unfortunately, and I pray the Lord will have mercy on us. How about when we live here? Is it possible for us to continue? The brothers will share later on that this consecration is complete. It's 7 days. Can you maintain this consecration as you live here? And Paul said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. If this word dwell in you daily, moment by moment, you know, we cannot control what comes into our mind. Maybe some can. I cannot. But I can control what that thing can do in me through the washing of the water in the word. I can bet maybe all, or maybe most of us here, this is the battle that goes on every day. The thoughts in our mind, the one nobody sees. I won't be surprised, even as we are here, some also may have some thoughts in their mind. This is the washing. Why? Because when we come before this holy God, what did Hebrews chapter 4 says? All our thoughts and our mind become bare and naked. So he even sees our hearts. That's why we need to wash. He sees everything. He sees those ones the brothers and the sisters cannot see. Those hidden thoughts in our mind that defile us. That's why we need this constant washing. Saints, it is a choice we have to make. You know, in Philippians, he said that let us work out our salvation with fear and trembling. How much consecration do you need? Sabina? I'll get it. But tell me, how much consecration do you need? 50%? 60%? Huh? 100? Are you sure? Yes. And let the word of God dwell in you richly. This word is able to sanctify us. It's able to wash us. You know, that we can control. Right? We can control the word of God that fills us. But the thoughts that come to defile us, we may not be able to control it. Why? Because we are still living on this earth. You know, some new believers, when they go through baptism, some people even come to be baptized and they think, wow. When you just come out from the water
And there is a thought of sin inside you. Isaiah, you agree with me? Where did it come from? Yes. We inherited this. That is why there is an effort by each one of us for this constant washing in the Word. We need it, saints. If you don't, trust me, if you read Romans chapter 8, chapter 7 and 8, when Paul was speaking there, he wasn't speaking about an unbeliever. So as we are all sitting down here, there are two laws that are in operation. The law of sin, the law of the spirit of life. They are all in operation until we meet the Lord. Those laws will be there. How much of the law of sin that you obey depends on where you set your mind. It's also there in Romans. But how can we come in to serve this holy God with such impurities inside of us? Sometimes we come to pray, our minds, our thoughts. Do you know that God is holy? Read some verses. Quickly, please, you can help me. If you can read for us, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews 10, 22. Please, if you find, you can read for us.
Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. If you find it, please also read. Ephesians 5, verse 26.
That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word.
Praise the Lord. We all know this. That's why I didn't want to bother with so much verses. But how much do we do it? It's not enough to know. You can agree with me day by day, the struggle will go through, right? Yeah. In Galatians, he says, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh, right? Where do you think this war is coming from? You are inside your bedroom, eh? You draw the curtains, only you. But there's war going on inside you. How do you handle it at that point in time? It is the word of God. The brothers are not there to help you, trust me. But you need to be filled so much that the word can wash you. It's such a good thing to be washed. So we're not going to spend so much time with this washing. We understand what the washing is. Even before they are clothed with a priestly robe, they need, first of all, you need to wash this thing. This one you need to do by yourself, right? You need to wash these thoughts. You know it. I know it. Because we cannot even go to the next step until we are washed. So how much we need this washing constantly? We need this washing. Don't wait until Sunday when you come to the meeting before you read the word. By then, you're already in the pit. You're dirty. Yeah, you're stinking, right?
Yeah.
You need to wash. In this part of the world, some people stay for weeks, days, even months without having a bath. Man, when you get close to them, once I was in the queue in the airport, and this lady was in front of me, man, I couldn't breathe. Wow. The good thing is that in Africa, there's a lot of heat. So if you don't have a shower in 2 days, Nobody will stay close to you. You're already in the grave, right? This is just an illustration. When we stay without the word, we are stinking. Flesh is smelling. You will not smell it yourself. The saints around can smell flesh. They don't want to come close to Osi because they can smell flesh. You think I'm lying? The smell of flesh is awful. Is that what you want to bring to God? You have to make a decision today. Right? We need to wash. Debbie, you agree with me? Yeah, we need to wash. Yes. Be filled with the word of God. So that when we come before God, we are so fresh. Before we can put on the priestly garments, we are so fresh. Whenever I have my shower, I feel so fresh, right? Spiritually, yes, the same thing. How come you come before God and Satan is accusing you? It's there in the Bible. You say he accuses the brethren. Because you're dirty. You're smelling. You're full of flesh. We're laughing. You think it's a joke, but that's the truth. When you stay with, you just wake up. Right? Paul, you're rushing to school, right? You just wake up, right? Then you're smelling, yeah? Young people, when you go without reading the word, you're doing what? Tell me. You're smelling. So next time you want to rush, you don't read the word, you know what is happening. The next person, you will just feel of flesh. And you can't even appear before God. How much more? If you can't appear before the saints because you're smelling, how can you be a priest? You know, that's where we can preach the gospel. Because even before we open our mouth, the enemy has condemned us. Oh, see, you can't speak. You're smelling. You're smelling. I pray the Lord will open our eyes. Amen. And grant us this desire to be washed. That we can put on this lovely garment, right? I promised myself I wasn't going to read so much verses. Then we go on. Now that we've had a nice shower, right? So fresh, right? We can now start wearing the garments, right? Okay, so you just read for me Leviticus chapter 8, 7 to 9. Leviticus chapter 8, 7 to 9.
Put the tunic on him, girded him with the sash, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. And he girded him with the intricately woven band of the ephod, and with it tied the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate, and he put the turban on his head. Also on the turban, on its front, he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses.
Amen. Verse 13.
Then Moses brought Aaron's sons and put tunics on them, girded them with sashes, and put hats on them, as the Lord had commanded Moses.
So first of all, we are fresh, we've had a bath. We've had a nice shower. We are so fresh that we put on. Because, unfortunately, even though that we have had a nice shower, God doesn't want to see flesh. So we need to dress nice, right? Put on the fleshly, the priestly garment, right? To cover this flesh. Because no matter how good you think your flesh is, right? It's not acceptable to God. You need to cover it nicely. Why do we have to put on this garment? Yeah? Because if we do not, we're exposed. We show off a lot of things. We show our nakedness. We show the old man. So we need this priestly garment. You see, the washing is inside, and the garment is outside. We need both to be able to serve as priests. Don't tell me it doesn't matter. Please, it does. You know, we need to be well-dressed to appear before God our Father. You know, I will give you an illustration. Today, the enemy has convinced the world to think that the less clothing they put, the more beautiful they look, isn't it? That's why people just, in those days, they used to be half-dressed. We say they're half-dressed. Today, they're even quarter-dressed, right? Their flesh is so exposed, right? So when you're walking on the street, this is physical flesh. The Lord needs us to be well-dressed. It's so pleasant. It's so, the Lord wants to behold us so neatly dressed with the priestly garment. This is our living. The brothers were giving us instructions yesterday. He said, even in this environment, people should know that some priests have been here. Wow. This is the priestly garment we wear. This is the one. You see, the main reasons for the garment, I realize there are three main reasons. First of all, he says one is for glory, right? It's written for glory, and then for beauty. But there's a third one. We'll read it. The third one is to sanctify, to set you apart. So, when you look into the crowd, one is for glory, which is God's nature, we will see it. One is for beauty, wow. And then one is to sanctify. In other words, when you are fully dressed as a priest, you cannot be mixed in the crowd. I like to read these verses. Exodus chapter 29:5-9. In fact, since we've been reading it, let's read 28, 2 and 3. Exodus 28, verses 2 and 3.
And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your
brother,
for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artists, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest.
So it's very clear. We can see it. Three main reasons. For glory, and for beauty, and for consecration. You know, we need to know the dual things. There are two things, both for ourselves before the saints and also to minister to God. It is very necessary that we can check these boxes, right? What does it mean for glory? What does it mean for glory? This is the divine nature, his divinity. God is glorious. God is so glorious. He's full of glory. When Saul saw him on his way to Damascus, the glory shone upon him. And he fell on the ground. And this man who was everything, he said, "But who are you, Lord? This is glory." Right? God is glorious. So his priest must be glorious. In our priestly garments, we must present this nature of God. also for beauty. When you look at the garments that we will see, the meanings of this in the garments that the high priest wears, we will see that it's first of all, even the effort, it's woven. And you see all those things. You see gold, right? Which is heavenly, which is God, right? The gold is the nature of God, right? Then you see the scarlet, right, for redemption. I'll take it in the order it is. He says, this intertwining, the mingling of the divinity with his humanity, in his humanity, we see the blue, we see the scarlet, you see, the scarlet typifies his redemptive work. The blending and the twining of the divine life typified by gold with his mingled with the human beauty. He says, you also have the purple, which the brother tried to explain to us, which is royalty, it's kingly. And then we see the scarlet. And then we see the gold. So in our appearance, we should carry his beautiful humanity with his divinity. It's a mingling. Sometimes we have a little bit of this and maybe none of this, right? But there's a balancing with his divinity and his humanity. So that when I relate with Amir, Amir can sense God, his divinity and his humanity in me. And just like we saw the last week, the previous weeks in Toronto, we saw about this fruit of the Spirit, because we are filled with his life, this fruit of the Spirit will now automatically manifest. If we don't do this, you know what we have? Somehow the scripture is so connected. What do we have? If we don't have God's humanity and his divinity, we have the works of the flesh. It's so automatic. It's either here or here. There's no middle ground. When you have the works of the flesh, when I was going through these works of the flesh, I realized, the brother also mentioned it in the speaking, he talks about pride. Have you ever seen somebody who is proud of holiness? Huh? You cannot. It's impossible. But guess what? You can be proud of your race. You can be proud of your education. U of T, right? You can be proud of every other work of the flesh. When you're proud, now you know where you are. There's nothing spiritual you can be proud of. You can only be proud of your attainment. And where is that in the Bible? Walk of the flesh. That's the flesh. That's a stinking, smelling flesh. I'm richer than you. You know the kind of car I'm driving? Wow. Now, when you boast, remember where that is coming from. It is from the fallen flesh. That flesh cannot serve God. You agree with me? Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, please. Verses 7 and 8, Romans chapter 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God,
for indeed can be.
So then those who are in the flesh cannot.
Hold it.
I didn't hear that. What was the last line, eh? If you cannot please God, how can you even serve him as a priest? Verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Sometimes when we talk about flesh, you know, we have a lot of weird things in our mind. The flesh is anything that is not of the spirit. Very simple. When we are not in the spirit, you cannot please God. How much more? You know the work of a priest? You don't just come for yourself. You also bring the saints along. How can you pray for me when you yourself cannot even please God? The Bible says your prayer is an abomination to God. May the Lord grant us so much grace that as we live here, may the Lord give us this burden to realize what it really means to be sanctified. It is necessary. The brother made it so clear to us. It's not optional. You really want to serve God? Why would you stay at the outer court? Why don't you want to come inside? You know why? He says, because your sin has made separation. The brothers will speak about the sin offering. It is your sin that has made separation. It's not that God doesn't want to come to us. God is available. But this guy, eh? Now I want to tell a few stories. You read with me. It's a story about Amalek. The Lord says something in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 to 19. We can read together. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all staggered at your rear when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies all around, in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess, inherit, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, you shall not forget. I want to draw an analogy between Amalek and flesh. And I hope when we leave this place, we will hate the flesh the way God hates the flesh. Again, in chapter 17, verses 8 to 13, Deuteronomy 17, yeah, we can read, yeah?
Chooses, and you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge there in those days.
Sorry, I missed it. It's Exodus 17. Exodus 17, yeah? That was Exodus 17. Yeah, it was to the end. Yeah, 8 to 13.
Refidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.
So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill.
And so it was when Moses held up his hand, then Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword.
Then the Lord said to Moses.
It's okay. To 13. Mm-hmm. You remember in Rephidim, as they left Egypt, they were going to the promised land. This, the grandson of Esau, Amalek, they fought with the children of Israel. I just want to paint an analogy between Amalek and the flesh. You know the funny thing they did? They didn't confront Israel face to face. They fought them from behind, where the children were, the weak, the aged, the vulnerable. Those were the people they attacked. That was why God hated them with an eternal hatred. And God also commanded the children of Israel, when you have gone to the promised land, when you receive the Spirit, deal with Amalek, deal with the flesh. Unfortunately, we know the story. They didn't completely wipe off Amalek. So there is a continuous fight today between us, the Spirit, and the flesh. And I want to read to you, and the funny thing is that our flesh takes an advantage of our weakness. When we are weak, that's when it comes. Now that you're so much in the Spirit, the flesh cannot come now, you know? This is just the modus operandi. That is the way the flesh works, right? When we are off our guard, it comes to attack us. That's why God commanded the children of Israel. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But Paul also tried to relate to us what he was talking about in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians 5, 17. You know this verse very well.
For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
So today there is a constant war going on, which is between the flesh and the Spirit. And that is why, as priests, when we come before God, we need to be well clothed with God's nature and his human life, so that we can be able to minister to God. If we are not properly clothed, we cannot minister to God. If we also take a look into the New Testament, we see these two things in John chapter 1, in verse 1. John chapter 1, in verse 1. Please, if you find it, you read. The Word was God. That is his divinity. How about verse 14? So in our appearance, we need to manifest, we need to reflect these two things, God's divinity with his humanity. This is the dressing of the high priest. Today, we know where the high priest is. Try to not to get too much into the doctrine. The high priest is today, he's in the heavens, he's Jesus Christ. We are priests. But how do we, as priests, how do we dress? We must put on Christ. We must cover this flesh through the worship and through the dressing of the priest. Our conduct must be heavenly, that's blue. It must be godly, that's golden. It must be out of God's redemption, scarlet. This is how we appear, not just before God, but also in our daily life. It's not, we don't wait until Sunday. We don't wait until a particular time. As the brothers with fellowship, we realize that this consecration is not just one time. It's a lifetime thing. Day by day, moment by moment. You know, the unfortunate thing is that when we are not consecrated, we are on the other side. Right? When we are not consecrated, we now display the works of the flesh. And when we display the works of the flesh, at that point in time, in Revelation, it says, we are being accused by the enemy. Now, how can you serve God when the enemy is accusing you? I pray the Lord will open our eyes to see, most importantly, why we need to wash every day and why we need to put on the priestly garment. When we don't put on the priestly garment, then that means we wear our own self. This is the flesh. And God doesn't want to see the flesh. It's an abomination to him. God wants us to be fully dressed. Not just to come and bring the offering on Sundays. No. Every day. Every moment. When you are at work. When you're in school. Unless you're a part-time priest. Unfortunately, there is no such thing. So our consecration must be complete. And I pray that as the Lord speaks to us in this weekend, that we will take back these words and hate the flesh. Saints, we need to wage war against the flesh. What is the flesh? What is the flesh? The thoughts of our mind, those desires in our heart, the ones the saints don't see. Those are the things that corrupt us. When, like the Amalek, when you are off guard, they produce sin. The Lord wants to save us from sin. So he wants us to deal with the root of sin. It is when those things come in, we need to be on guard so that we can check it, so that it does not grow to become actual sin. Praise the Lord.
I wanted to share something briefly. Before this conference, the weeks preceding, there was a song on my heart. We probably all know this song. It says, I am not my own. I belong to Jesus. I am not my own. And you know, this is a very good song, and really it speaks from the heart of how we should feel. The Lord has done so much for us, and it should be our constant daily realization that we do not belong to ourselves because we've been purchased at the highest price. But what does this really mean but that we should also obey his commandments? You know, some of us may have walked with the Lord for a very long time. Some of us may be very new. But it doesn't matter how long. If we love the Lord, then it is normal that we want to be in his presence, to spend time with him. I see this every day with my own children. I come home from work, all three of them come running, "Daddy! Daddy's home!" And they're so excited to see me. Well, how is it with me when I come into the presence of God my Father? Do I really desire to be there every day, all the time? And to spend time with him. Just like my children are always asking me to spend time with them. "Daddy, let's read a book together. Daddy, let's read the Bible together. Daddy, can you play with me?" Oh, Lord, I want to have this kind of an attitude with God my Father. And also to realize that we are called to be kings and priests. You know, if we don't see the goal of being kings and priests, that we are destined by God our Father to rule and reign on this earth in his coming kingdom, then what is this all for? We have to realize that this priesthood today that we are practicing and learning, and this consecration process for the priests, this is to train us for that destiny, that eternal destiny. And it's such a glorious goal. I mean, how else could we ever be trained to rule over the nations on this earth if not by Christ himself and learning his humanity through the priesthood and through the consecration? So, yeah, a verse that keeps coming back to me all the time in 2 Peter 3:11, it says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought I to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Yeah. So we actually have a brother who in Fountain Valley who's currently looking for a job. And it's not easy because AI's taken a lot of jobs over. And there's a lot of different factors. But it's very good. He reminded us many times, "I already have the best job." And that is to be a priest in the house of God. That is the highest calling that we all have. All of us have been called for this highest calling, to be a priest in the house of the living God. And so for this priesthood, this consecration is the onboarding process. we're learning to be a priest, and the consecration is what we need to do every day, right? It's not something... like we've heard so many times, we come to a conference, we're stirred up in our spirit, and we say, "I consecrate myself to you, Lord," and then after the conference, you kind of forget about it. No, and no, it's not like that. The consecration is a daily process, and it is a renewed, every day we need to say, "Lord, I consecrate myself to you. I take you as my consecration offering." Christ is our consecration offering, because he is the only one who is fully consecrated his whole life. And so only through him can we learn in every practical thing that we do, whether we're in school, whether we're at home, whether we're at our job, no matter what the environment is, we learn to be consecrated to him. And as our brother shared, the washing, it's so important. The washing of the water through the word. I can tell you from my own experience, if I rush off to work and I don't start the day with the washing of water in the Word, I will very easily be defiled from the whole beginning of the day and all the way until the end. But we need this washing of the water in the Word. So don't forget about this important part of the consecration. But may we all truly be given to Him and experience this washing and be diligent to enter into this experience.
Show bring up this slide again, just for the sake of the new ones and actually all of us, so that we kind of keep this in mind. If, in case you're wondering why or how did we pick these particular topics, because it's written in these two chapters, Leviticus, Exodus 29 and Leviticus 8. The first step, besides gathering all the materials, is washing. And then after you're washed, you put on the priestly garments. Okay, just to be clear, we're not talking about physical clothing, okay? So back in Exodus and Leviticus, it was physical clothing. But again, these are symbolic for something that is applicable for us today. And then after putting on the priestly garments, then the priest had to offer a sin offering, then a burnt offering, then they had to apply, they had to take two rams, kill one of the rams and apply the blood, apply the anointing oil and the blood, and then the second ram had to be killed, and it became a wave and a heave offering, and then the bread and the flesh were eaten. And then they had to maintain the holy garments and the sin offering for 7 days. So this is, and the reason why the priesthood, this point about the priesthood is so significant is because this actually shows us what we are going through right now, right? So even though we don't have a physical washing, like the brother said, yes, you need to take a bath, right? You need to shower. But we're not talking about physical things. But spiritually, these are the things that we need to go through as well in our daily life, in our life as Christians, as believers, because we are priests to God, right? And so as Christians, if you don't just think of yourself as a Christian, think of yourself as a priest, right? You have to get rid of this idea in your mind of that a priest is some specially ordained religious person. It is actually all of us. And like it's been said several times, it's mandatory for all of us because one day we will be judged for it, right? Our calling, like Vince mentioned, is to rule over the earth with Christ as kings and priests. And part of the things that the priests do is rule. It's also to judge the nations. It's also to fight against the enemy. It's to, you know, it's to represent God on this earth. There's so many things that the priests have to do. And this is our calling. It's not just for a few people. So what we were talking about this morning is about the washing and putting on the clothes. And there's a very important reason why it's in this order. Because you can't put on nice, clean clothes before you're washed. Because every one of us is contaminated. And yes, it's sin in flesh, but I'll give you an example. Actually, just a few verses very quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Right? So cleansing ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's what the brother was talking about. Because the flesh is actually another word for our human nature. And that can be good things or bad things. Everything that comes from my nature that's not from the Lord is unacceptable to him and has to be cleansed. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about what we put on. These are the garments, the clothes that we put on. So in Ephesians chapter 4, for example, it says here, verse 22, it says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which is the flesh, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So before you can put on Christ, before you can, you know, manifest him and live by him, the first step is that you need to put off the old man. So there's so much that there's so much contamination that we have. And for example, one of the things that I remember was the story of the rich young man in Matthew chapter 19. He wanted to follow the Lord. He felt that he was, you know, he's done everything right. But what did the Lord point out? What was that thing, that dirt, that was still preventing him from moving on? It was the love of money. So for him, for that young man, he needed to wash himself of the love of money. That once that was cleansed, then he can proceed to follow the Lord. Right? So before we always want to do the right thing, but there are so many things in our lives and so many attachments, things that we love, things that we hold on to, that we need to let go of. We need the Lord to help us, to strengthen us, to remove all those things. And how do we know which things need to be removed? It's the Spirit in us that shows us, that reveals it to us. It's the Word working in us, speaking to us, that we need to remove that. Like, for example, just taking the love of money as an example, right? The Word speaks clearly that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So if we know that Word, and we know in our heart, I'm starting to love money, I'm trying to hold on to it as much as I can. I want to accumulate as much wealth as I can, and that's what I'm thinking about all day, right? And that's what I want. Then we know that this is something that needs to be cleansed out of my heart, right? Or my pride. We talked about pride. Or I have this root of bitterness against a certain brother. I just can't stand Vince. Something about him is just irks me. Or, you know, I need to cleanse that out of my heart and reconcile with him, right? Or I have something attached to, maybe I love clothes, right? I'm obsessed with certain clothing, whatever. The Lord knows what it is. We're not here to make laws. You cannot do this, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. But the Lord has to show you what needs to be cleansed. There's a certain order. You can't start just putting on Christ if you don't deal with the contamination first. If you don't deal with the contamination and the loves in your heart, the attachments, you cannot successfully put on Christ and live by him, because those will always draw you back. You have to first let go. And there are also sometimes we always talk about letting go and putting off and dying to self. But if you do that, but you don't put on Christ and you don't fill, you take those things out of your heart, but you don't fill it with Christ, then that's also not good. Right? So you have to empty and fill with the right thing. That's why it comes in this order. First, you have to wash off the contamination and dirt of this world, the loves in our heart, the attachments, the other things that prevent us. Then you are able to put on the righteousness of Christ. And clothing, not physical clothing, spiritual clothing, it's worn on the outside because that's what people see. And when people look at me, if I've really cleansed myself and I'm put on Christ and I'm living by Christ, when people see me, do they see Christ in me? Do they see me in my words, in my actions, how I conduct myself? I was just talking to a brother yesterday, right? He was saying that, you know, I want to take a step to follow the Lord. And I said, okay, what's your room like? What's your bedroom like? And he said, oh, it's a mess. I said, well, there you go. You can start there, right? Yeah. You can get your life in order. You have to organize yourself. Are you always late? Are you always disorganized? You don't know what's going on. And that brother admitted to me, you know what, I'm really lazy. I said, good. You know that's a problem. Bring it to the Lord. Have him help you deal with that. Right? So there's so many things that we can do. When people look at us, do they see that this is a lazy person? That your life is a mess and disorderly? Or do they see the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord in our life? Right? Do they see us as really a priest of the Lord? You know, there's some people, when you look at them, you can tell, wow, this person really loves the Lord. And there are some people, hopefully it's not ourselves, when they look at us, if you tell them you're a Christian, they'll say, what, really? Oh, I didn't know that. That means, okay, there's a problem. I'm not wearing Christ. And they can't even tell that I'm a believer. My life doesn't reflect it. That's why I told all the brothers, right, some of the young brothers, I said, if you share in the meeting, especially if you want to share in the conference, your life has to match what you are speaking, right? It's not just about the words we say, but what people look at is our life and our living. And that's what the clothing means. It's not just, it doesn't mean that I go around dressed in a three-piece suit everywhere. No, it means that can people really see Christ in me, lived out in me, the righteousness of Christ, that I am different from everybody else in the world. Right? But before I do that, I need to wash myself. I need to let go and cleanse away all the contamination and dirt of this world. Things that are preventing me from consistently following Christ, obeying him. Right? And I think everybody knows what they are. Right? So, yeah, hopefully, okay, let's continue the fellowship.
Yeah, well, you're right. Let's start in 2 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's continue the fellowship later then. Okay, yeah, so just a one little reminder.
I just wanted to share one.
Oh, yeah.
Nehi, push me. As you know, we are focusing and, you know, we're speaking so much about this consecration. One point that came to my heart is, don't forget your first love. You know, all this is for what? This God who has poured out his love into our hearts. You know, the desire of washing and putting on clothes. I remember the first time when I was, the Lord saved me. You know, the desires to save him, you know. I know of a brother who called him, I'm a Jesus freak. You know, what makes one love this God when you have recognized his love? And all this that the brothers are sharing is because he is our first love. If the first love is missing, I can do all these things and I'll miss the whole point. But if this God is worthy of all love, you know, who came in the point of even obedient to the point of death, he is worthy to be served in such a manner and should be in our hearts like, Lord, I want to master this. Not just to know about this, but to give my all to you. Yeah, I was just considering this point. Praise the Lord.